Will shielded his eyes from the glare as the aircraft descended towards Fossil Bluff. The sun was high in the sky, but it wouldn't be that way for long. The short Antarctica summer was coming to an end, but Will's trip was only beginning. Excitement mixed with nerves as the pilot lowered the wheels on the small plane. Will had foolishly read an article about the dangers of landing on ice-covered runways and couldn't stop himself from closing his eyes, as the aircraft struggled to keep a straight course on the ground, only opening them again once he felt the plane's engines shut off. Beside him, Cassie whimpered, keen to leave the vehicle. Before accepting the job at Fossil Bluff, Will insisted that Cassie be able to accompany him. He had no doubt that she would enjoy the adventure, and as she was a Siberian husky, Will felt that she would easily acclimatize to the low temperatures. The British Antarctic Survey had no issues with Cassie joining the team, even allowing her to sit in the passenger area of the private plane, rather than in the cargo hold, as Will and Cassie were the only passengers. There had been no one to complain anyway. He could only hope that the rest of the team, whom he was yet to meet, would be welcoming of her. The exit door opened with a hiss of hydraulics as the steward announced it was time to leave the aircraft. Will struggled with his hand luggage as Cassie pulled on her leash, desperate to find fresh air and relieve herself.
"We'll bring your luggage through shortly,"
the steward stated as Will was almost dragged down the steps by Cassie.
"Head up to the red building,"
he said with a nod. Will reached the bottom of the steps, and Cassie immediately squatted, turning the snow yellow beneath her.
"Feel better?"
he asked. Cassie was whimpering again, seemingly confused by the cold white powder on her paws.
"I know,"
Will comforted.
"You'll get used to it."
The red building, known as the Hut, was less than 20 meters away, and the pair trudged through the snow as quickly as they could manage.
"Perhaps this is going to be hotter than I expected,"
Will wondered. He had worked as a researcher for the British Antarctic Survey for almost 10 years, but had never had the opportunity to visit the place. Most research trips took place in the summer months, and there were a huge number of experts desperate for the chance to go. This would be the first winter stay that anyone had volunteered for in 20 years, and would be one of the longest at almost 7 months.
7 months of almost continuous darkness. 7 months with no way home.
Will mused as he pushed the door to the Hut open. The warmth hit him first, followed closely by the smell of food cooking. He kept hold of Cassie's leash until he had introduced himself to the other members of the team, more for the safety of anyone's meal than anything else. The Hut could accommodate up to 6 people. And these spaces were easily filled during summer expeditions. The work this team carried out only required 3 people, and the Hut felt all the more spacious for it. Inside was a small living space, consisting of 3 small sofas and a coffee table. There was a dining table, which could only seat 4 at a time, an open-plan cooking area, and 3 sets of bunk beds.
"Hi, I'm Will. This is Cassie."
At the stove, stirring a saucepan of tinned soup, stood a woman around Will's age. She was as tall as him, thin with brown hair tied in a bun.
"I'm Heather,"
she replied with a smile.
"That's Gunther over there."
Will looked towards one of the bunks, where a man in his 50s was staring at a laptop with his earphones in. He glanced up at the new arrivals and gave a nod before continuing with whatever he was watching.
"Are you hungry?"
Heather asked.
"Yeah, a bit. Thanks. Are you okay with a dog if I let her off?"
"Of course,"
Heather said, approaching Cassie to give her head a stroke.
"It'll be nice having an animal around that isn't another penguin."
Will watched as Heather poured the soup into 3 mugs, taking the first over to Gunther. Cassie jumped as the door behind them swung open, the pilot and steward making their way in, dragging Will's cases behind them. Will thanked them, took his belongings over to the vacant bunk while the aircraft crew chatted with Heather, and enjoyed a hot drink before flying off again. Gunther barely moved from his laptop the rest of that day, so it fell to Heather to show Will around. Will learned that his 2 teammates had arrived the week prior to him, and had been tasked with taking inventory, ensuring everything was in order before he arrived. Will was shown to the toilet and shower room, which was part of the adjacent building, alongside the food and water stores. Food either came in tins or was already freeze-dried and could be prepared by adding hot water.
The biggest downside is having the toilet in a separate building,
Heather commented.
More so because if you wake up in the night needing to go, you have to get all the kit on first. You really wouldn't want to come out here in just a dressing gown.
Will simply nodded, gazing out of the window at the vast expanse of ice and snow. The tour was brief, as there really wasn't much to see, and the trio, plus Cassie, spent Will's first evening going over the agenda for the coming months. There was little to do besides work, but at that point, Will felt that he could easily cope with the situation. After all, it had been his dream to visit Antarctica. Day 24. Less than a month into the winter stayover, Will had settled in as well as could be expected. He had thrown himself into his work, the collection and study of the very limited plant life, which mostly consisted of lichens and algae. And even Cassie seemed to be content lazing about in the hut and helping to carry some of the equipment on the short expeditions to the coast. The days had become almost non-existent, providing a window of only a few hours in which to safely travel. A routine fixed itself into place, so much so that Will began to lose track of the days. Each morning would begin with him pulling on his snowsuit and trudging over to the shower room. The trio alternated who would prepare breakfast, which almost always consisted of porridge or baked beans, and then they would discuss their plans for the day. The British Antarctic Survey had been kind enough to ship enough dog food to Fossil Bluff so that Cassie's presence wouldn't cause any problems with the rationing, but the cost of the food had come out of Will's wages. Day 24 began no differently than the previous ones. Will showered, walked Cassie around the building a few times, and sat down to the porridge which Gunther had prepared. Will informed the others that he was to head back to the coast to gather samples, expecting to be out for no more than 2 hours. It was given that he would take Cassie with him.
"Do you mind if I join you?"
Heather asked. This caught Will off guard, having only ventured out with his dog, and Heather immediately noticed the hesitation in his voice.
"Well, I've caught up on most of my work. I'm going a little stir-crazy here all day. I could do with a walk."
"Of course,"
Will replied.
"It'd be nice to have some company."
Cassie whimpered.
"I meant human company,"
Will told her. Once breakfast was over, Will packed a bag with the necessary equipment and attached Cassie's leash.
"Ready?"
he called over to Heather. Heather gave him a lighthearted salute before calling over to Gunther.
"See you in a couple hours."
"Uh-huh,"
was all he could manage, not bothering to look up from his laptop. The sun had only risen a little despite it being late morning, and Will knew that it would not rise much higher. This would be the 10th time he had taken this journey and barely needed the compass at all, even though the landscape appeared the same in each direction. The walk to the coast would have taken only 15 minutes anywhere else in the world, but on the treacherous ice plains it took more than twice that. Will had given himself an hour at the site, in which to gather samples, a job which ended up taking less time with Heather's help.
"Ah, it's beautiful out here,"
Heather remarked, watching a group of seals soak up the last of the day's sunshine.
"Yes,"
Will agreed.
"But I'm wondering if 7 months may be too long. Perhaps. But there's no way back until summer starts. They won't fly us off until the weather's good enough. It's a good job if the cold is the worst thing we have to contend with. I've heard some horror stories about polar bear attacks in the Arctic."
"Can't blame them, really,"
Will pointed out.
"Global warming equals less food for the bears. They're starving and therefore more dangerous."
"Absolutely. I just mean I'm glad we don't have that threat hanging over us."
"I wouldn't worry anyway. Cassie will keep us safe."
The husky looked up at her owner, gave out a small bark, almost as though she had understood the conversation. Will found that having company on the trip had caused the time to fly by, and he was surprised to see that the intended hour had turned into almost two. The collections of samples may have happened quicker with two pairs of hands, but more time had passed in conversation. Fearing that it would get dark before they made it back, Will, Heather, and Cassie packed up the equipment, started their hike to the hut. 10 minutes into the journey, Cassie bounded ahead. The two humans surveyed the ground ahead of them in search of something other than the brilliant white, and their gaze landed on a dark lump just as Cassie reached it. Will sped out, calling out his dog's name, fearing that she was going to try to eat whatever it was. Cassie backed off, watching her master and waiting for further instructions. It took Will a few moments to process what lay before him. Heather spoke first.
"That's impossible,"
she declared, looking from the carcass on the snow to Will and back again. In front of them were the remains of a seal, head still intact, but the entrails spread across the snow. The wound to its body was deep, flesh torn away in chunks, as though the damage had been caused by a ferocious set of teeth.
"What could have done that?"
Will asked, his voice taking on a small shake.
"The only predators to seals around here are killer whales, but we're too far inland."
Heather tried to come up with a sensible suggestion, but she had nothing to offer. Attacks on seals only happened in the sea. That was a fact. The only other land creatures for hundreds of miles were penguins, and there was no way they could have caused this damage.
"We should get back to the hut,"
Heather stated, her pace quickening. Will followed, before realizing that Cassie had not moved from the spot by the dead seal.
"Cassie! Come on, girl!"
Will yelled. The hair on Cassie's back was raised, and even through his hat and hood, Will could hear her soft growl. He scoped the horizon, but could see nothing out of the ordinary. Something had gotten Cassie worked up, and Will trusted the dog's instincts more than his own. Reattaching her leash, Will tugged at the husky, and the pair almost ran to catch up with Heather. Gunther seemed far less concerned about the dead seal than Will and Heather had been, despite agreeing that it was out of the ordinary. It had clearly been attacked by something larger than itself, something which should not be found in that area. But with nothing else to go on, there was little that could be done, and work quickly resumed. Day 39. Will had been reluctant to take the same trip since the discovery of the seal carcass, but he knew it was unavoidable. He was thankful that he had enough samples to work on for at least 2 weeks, but the time to venture beyond the perceived safety of the hut soon came around.
"Is anyone free to come with me?"
Will asked after the team had finished their breakfasts.
"Still scared of the mysterious seal killer?"
Gunther teased.
"I wouldn't say scared,"
Will replied.
"Wary might be a better word. I've got too much to do here,"
Heather said.
"I got a bit behind in the weekly report, it's due soon. Go with him, Gunther. It won't take long."
Gunther managed to grunt, but suited up for the trek anyway. Visibility was far worse than on previous excursions, the high winds blowing the powdery snow about in front of their faces so they could only see a few meters ahead of themselves. Will decided to keep Cassie on her leash, fearful they would lose her in the snowstorm. Barely 10 minutes into the walk, the dog stopped dead, feet firmly planted into the icy ground, tail down, fur up. Something spooked her, even more so than before, and the growl she emitted was like nothing Will had ever heard from her before. Gunther and Will looked at one another, both unsettled, neither willing to take another step forward until Cassie gave the all clear. They looked ahead, attempting to make out any shapes that may not belong on this frozen continent, but could see nothing.
"What do you think?"
Will shouted above the howl of the wind and the guttural growl of his dog.
"She doesn't look like she wants to go on,"
Gunther shouted in reply.
"Maybe we should head back."
Through the protective goggles, Will could see fear on the older man's face. Fear of something unknown yet undeniably present.
"We can try again when the weather improves. I don't like not being able to see what's ahead of us,"
Gunther continued. Will nodded, tugging at the leash.
"Come on, Cassie! Let's go!"
The dog seemed to understand the command and turned quickly, as though relieved to be returning to the hut. Cassie bounded all the way back, almost dragging Will. The trio moved as quickly as possible, never stopping to look back. Hearing the account from Gunther set Heather into panic mode. He was always the sensible one, dismissive of anything he couldn't see for himself, seemingly afraid of nothing. Even though nobody had actually seen anything, the two men were clearly shaken.
"We should contact HQ,"
Heather said.
"I'm almost finished with my report. I told them about the seal we found, but they gave no reply, so I presume they didn't find it concerning."
"If they weren't interested in the seal, then I don't see them being bothered about the dog acting crazy,"
Gunther replied.
"But you may as well mention it in the report, just in case."
"In case what?"
Will asked, his eyes betraying the fear he still felt.
"I don't know,"
Gunther continued.
"Maybe we find another seal or a penguin. We have some night vision cameras left from the summer team who were filming penguins. We need some way to see what's going on out there without putting ourselves in direct danger."
"You think we're in danger?"
Heather asked. Saying the words aloud somehow added weight to them.
"I'm not sure,"
Gunther answered honestly.
"Perhaps it's nothing."
"Either way,"
Will said,
"it wouldn't hurt to have some cameras working. If we work together, it won't take long."
The team set to work, rigging up four cameras, one around 10 meters from each corner of the hut. The footage fed through to Gunther's laptop, the green haze of the night vision showing nothing, aside from the swirling of snow. Gunther tapped a button and a howling sound came from the laptop's tiny speakers. Nothing more than the wind. So he turned off the sound.
Now what?
Will asked.
We just watch the screen and look out for monsters?
That's probably nothing,
Gunther said with a shrug.
Probably.
Day 46. The first 6 nights of camera footage showed nothing out of the ordinary. However, it was the footage of the 7th night that was enough to give the team nightmares. Gunther half-heartedly sat through the previous night's footage, sped up to 32 times the recording rate, enabling him to view the 9 hours of video in less than 20 minutes. Heather and Will made more coffee while the footage played, wanting to know that it was all clear before trying to concentrate on the day's work. Heather nearly spilled the coffee she was pouring as Gunther jumped, almost sending the metal chair crashing to the ground.
"Fuck me,"
Gunther said, eyes still transfixed on the screen. Will and Heather looked at one another.
"What is it?"
Heather asked as they made their way around to Gunther. The screen showed another dead seal, sporting similar injuries to the one found 3 weeks prior.
"You need to see this,"
Gunther replied, his shaking hands working the laptop to rewind the footage. He dragged the cursor back by less than a minute and played it in real time. The hazy green screen showed a clear night. White snow covered the ground and stars could be made out in the sky. Then they saw it, appearing without warning in front of the cameras to the south. The team couldn't have asked for a clearer image, although this was not a sight any of them wished to see. With hooved feet, the creature stood upright on 2 legs, humanoid in shape, but not in features. The monster was the size of a tall man. Its entire body was covered in lightly colored fur, muscular, elongated arms, holding the bleeding corpse of the seal up to its face as it fed. Even through the night vision lens, dark spots on its chest were visible, which Gunther suggested was most likely blood. It wasn't until the creature discarded the meal that the team could see its face. A dark splattering of seal blood covered its mouth and chin. The face was reminiscent of a ram's, with an elongated snout and small ears, which lie tucked away behind menacing spiraled horns. It was a creature of myth and legend, an abomination to all that is good, and a potential danger to the 3 humans so far from home. Once it had abandoned the seal's carcass to the ice, the creature quickly turned its head, staring right into the camera, as though it knew what it was.
"Yeti?"
Heather asked, barely believing the words as they left her mouth. Will and Gunther looked at her, not to mock, but with consideration. Gunther slammed the laptop shut.
What do we do?
Will asked.
We have to tell someone and get out of here.
He was unable to hide the panic rising in his voice. The hut started to feel too small around him.
Okay,
Gunther began.
We all saw that, right? So there's no denying there's something out there.
Everyone nodded as Gunther sat processing the events with scientific logic.
I can isolate that part of the footage. Once I view the rest, that way we can send it over to London, request an evacuation. However...
Gunther paused.
However what, Gunther?
Will asked.
They have to come get us.
I'm sure they will try, but it'll depend on the weather conditions.
Gunther paused, reluctant to voice his concerns.
They may also want us to study it,
he said quietly.
Shit,
Heather muttered.
You're right, but that's not what we're here for. I never signed up for that.
Fuck that,
Will replied.
If they want to catch that thing, then they need to send in the sort of people that do that. Military or whatever. We don't have any weapons. And I'm not going back out there until a plane arrives.
And what about when you need to piss?
Gunther asked. He had a good point and Will knew it.
We go in pairs,
Heather suggested.
And take the dog. She was good at sensing what that thing was nearby.
They agreed and set to work on contacting London to explain the situation. Gunther sorted out the right piece of footage. Heather wrote down exactly what had happened and what they expected HQ to do about it. And Will stared intently at the live footage which was streaming through one of the monitors at the workstation, oblivious to his coffee, which was cooling in his hands. The team caught no sight of the creature the rest of that day while taking trips to the storeroom and showroom in pairs, and with Cassie by their side. Adrenaline pumped all day, and by evening everything felt so distant that they started wondering if what they had seen was even real.
We should all get some sleep. There should be some news tomorrow,
Gunther announced, after checking comms for a reply from London for the 10th time. Will double-checked the doors and windows, going so far as to push one of the sofas in front of the main entrance. Nobody slept well that night, tossing and turning in the bunks, listening for the sound of anything out of the ordinary. Day 47. Will awoke to Cassie growling in the darkness. He could hear the others stirring and called his dog, whispering her name.
Cassie! Cassie!
He called out quietly.
What is it?
A light flicked on beside Heather's bed as she sat up. Her gaze flicked from Will to Cassie. The husky had climbed onto the sofa against the door so that her head was level with the doorknob. Cassie's fur was on end just as before, and her growl seemed to continue in one long breath. Something was outside. Of that, there was no doubt. A crash against the front door sent Cassie yelping in fear as she leapt from the sofa and took position a few feet further back. Once in place, she resumed the warning growl, not moving from the spot as the three humans got to their feet and stood behind the dog. Another crash against the wooden door and everybody jumped. Whatever was out there wanted in. Gunther suddenly sprang to his bunk and dragged a bag out from underneath. He pulled two flare guns from the bag, tossing one to Will.
It'll have to do,
he announced with a shrug, before switching on the monitor to display the live feed from outside. The cameras faced the way from the hut, so they showed nothing of the main entrance.
If we stay quiet, it might go away,
Heather said, trying to hold back tears.
It was quiet in here when it arrived,
Will pointed out.
It may be able to smell us. Or...
He was interrupted by another crash at the door, this time accompanied by the sound of wood splitting.
The door won't hold!
Gunther yelled, loading the flare gun and pointing it at the entry point. There came another crash, followed by yet another. The creature seemed aware of their presence now and was determined to get inside. The group held their position. One final attack against the door and it gave, coming away at the hinges. Frozen in panic, Will watched as two clawed hands lifted the detached door from its position against the sofa and hurled it out of the way. Cassie's growl turned to an angry bark. There was no one for the flight reflex to take her, so fight was the only option. For a split second, the creature simply stood, arms by its side, almost surprised by the people it saw inside. It was taller than they had expected, having to bend down to fit through the doorframe. Gunther was the first to fire, the flare hissing forward and passing the creature's head by no more than an inch. An unearthly howl came from it as it acknowledged the attack, and it leapt over the sofa and straight for Gunther. Will had no time to fire his flare before the creature's razor-sharp claws ripped Gunther's throat. Will took a few steps back as he stared in horror at the sight. Thick spurts of crimson spraying from the wound in Gunther's neck, his eyes staring at his killer with confusion.
Shoot it!
Heather screamed, backing herself against the wall. Will registered what she said and raised the flare gun. The creature turned to face Will, tilting its head forward slightly, as though threatening him with the deadly horns on its head. It charged. Will pulled the trigger. The gun jammed. Will was certain he was about to die, so when the creature fell backwards, took him by surprise. The room filled with the most horrific sounds, as Cassie's growls mingled with those of the creature. Will's faithful husky had launched herself at this monstrosity, teeth deeply embedded into its right thigh. Will couldn't look away as the creature swiped at Cassie, its claws struggling to find their target, yet only taking off chunks of fur. Even so, Will knew it wouldn't be long before that thing landed a successful blow. It would only take one hit from those deadly talons in the right place to finish Cassie. Will raised the flare gun once more, and the creature looked at him, seeming to know what was coming. For a split second, Will was sure he could see fear in the monster's eyes. He pulled the trigger. The flare whooshed towards its target and landed exactly where it was meant to, albeit with disappointing results. The flare hit the creature square in the face, but there was no explosion of flames. It was, however, enough to disorientate the monster, sending it scrambling backwards. Cassie released the fleshy thigh as the beast fell back. Before it can move to attack again, the dog was at the pale fur around the creature's throat, teeth embedded firmly. Will watched as their attacker tried to find the strength to lift its long arms, to no avail. Finally, when the creature had twitched for the last time, Cassie let go and ran to be beside her owner. Day 50. Favorable weather conditions allowed for Will, Heather, and Cassie to be evacuated within days of their encounter. Gunther had been correct about the British Antarctic Survey wanting to study the thing that attacked them. Will resented the excitement his superiors showed when he told them they had the body, or at least most of it. The plane arrived with more crew and equipment than before. The body of the monster was wrapped and loaded into the hold, whereas Gunther's body was prepared and laid as respectfully as possible, in the gangway between seats. Heather, Will, and no doubt Cassie were relieved to take their seats on the plane and watch the red building grow smaller as they began their ascent.
Back to civilization,
Heather said with a sigh. Will said nothing, watching as two tall horned creatures approached the hut.